You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Hi, and welcome back to Two Girls in the World. I'm Vic.
I'm Charlie.
And today we have a very special guest. That is Hannah.
It's me, guys.
You're going to make her do it half time.
So Hannah is one of my best friends, and that's we actually met because we met from when I was a personal trainer, and Hannah was one of my clients. And then when I said I was leaving, you was kind of like, can we still be friends?
I categorically was like, we are still friends. Yeah. I enforced the friendship.
Yeah.
I will follow you.
Yeah, I was like, this can't be it.
Yeah, and by the end of that conversation, we booked a trip to Amsterdam, and then like the rest is history.
Yeah.
So Hannah is a lot of things.
That sounds a bit like
beautiful, kind, funny.
Yeah, all of the above. Do you want to tell the listeners just a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Where do I start? I'm 31. I'm from Manchester. I am a nutritional therapist. I have a psychology degree, so I'm really...
Charlie's seeing my boobs.
Yeah, sorry. Hannah, my girlfriend. Forgot to tell her about that one. Well, someone took those avocado photos, so... I am very passionate about helping other people. I am very much into women's sport. I love tennis.
She loves a graphic tee.
I love a graphic t-shirt, that's correct.
So, the reason why we wanted to get Hannah on today, it's an episode that I've wanted to do for a while because I love asking you questions about it, and I just know that this will help so many people. So, Hannah, at aged 30, and after like 30 years of dating men, you decided to open up your dating profile to women. And after one date with a woman, wasn't it? Yeah. You, like this one person, also called Hannah, became your girlfriend.
She shall go by Hannah 2.
Hannah 2, podcast. Yeah. We call her Hannah 2.
I am Hannah 1, obviously.
Would you ever be Hannah
2? No.
No, but there's many arguments, aren't there, between the two Hannahs. But to all of us, you're Hannah 1 and she's Hannah 2.
So
to all of us and the rest of the world.
Yeah, to all the two girls in the world. No, the world is. Yeah. I love this journey that you've been on. I love all of the things that you've learned about yourself going on this journey, and I guess things you've learned about like your family and stuff like that. And I think it would be such a good thing to talk about because I reckon there's so many people out there who also would love to be able to explore same-sex relationships, or maybe if they are already like in heterosexual sexual relationships, maybe they're someone who wants to explore like straight relationships, but they don't have the confidence to do so. So yeah, I really wanted to get you on to talk about this.
Yeah,
so welcome.
Thank you.
I
I'm excited because obviously I know, but I don't know anything about your story, so I'm now learning as we go.
Yeah.
I've not had a proper chat with you.
No.
And Vic's not told me much, so I don't know, so I'm excited.
All very excited.
Yeah, I'm a listener right now. I'm excited.
Well, I'm a very open book, so if I can help, if I can help anyone, then I'm here. So let's go for it.
Yeah, so I've got some questions that I've kind of pre-written down, and then we've had quite a lot of listener questions as well. So I think, like, the first question, and we have briefly discussed this morning, is, like, would you say that you're now fully lesbian or bi? And, like, in the grand scheme of things, I don't like that we even need to ask this question. Mm-hmm. But I'm wondering, like, would you still consider, like, if for whatever reason in the future, would you still consider dating men?
Mm.
Or are you straight on, I just love women now?
Yeah, I think it's something that I really struggled with. I think that's probably held me back from dating women, sooner. I feel like, for me... And I can't, you know, I think at the beginning of this podcast, I just want to put a disclaimer, like, I can't talk for every single lesbian, gay, whatever term that you'd like to identify as, you know, this is just from my experience, so I can't speak for everyone. But for me personally, I found it really challenging to kind of almost conform into one category or another. I found it very overwhelming and quite anxiety inducing because I didn't know, and I still don't fully know. I'm still trying to process that and figure that out. And I've had many conversations with Hannah about that, you know.
Hannah too,
yeah. you know, I still don't know myself. And I think for some people, it's really important to identify as one or the other. Mm-hmm. For me personally, I don't feel like I need to conform to either being bisexual or a lesbian.
Yeah.
And I think for me, like, the term queer for me personally is quite, I feel quite comfortable, or the term gay, because it's kind of a broader branch for me personally. And I know for some people it's very empowering. I think over the years, you know, people have used it in quite a derogatory meaning, you know, like, oh, that's so gay. Mm-hmm. And actually taking that back, that ownership back, is really empowering for me.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and the same with, for example, like being a masculine presenting woman or a feminine presenting woman. Or, you know, there's so many different terms which I still don't know them all. And I think that felt extremely overwhelming. And I still find that overwhelming because there's so much to learn. And that almost put me off.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, trying to date women because...
Yeah.
I'm new here. Yeah, I'm new. Like,
I'm new here. I don't know.
Exactly. And yeah. I think Hannah too would say, you know, she classes as like baby gays. Hannah also... had never dated a woman before me, so we both went through this journey together.
That's what I was just about to ask. Yeah. How does Hannah feel about you not being able to identify? Because I don't know her, like, history.
So Hannah had never dated a woman either, nor had I.
I think
neither of us disclosed that because I was still very anxious about it. I was still trying to figure out if this is something that I wanted. Like, for me, it felt very scary, and mm-hmm. it was such a big life change that I was still processing everything as we were dating. So for the first month, neither of us, you know, there'd be hints of, oh, I used to date this guy and da da da. There was never any, oh, when I went on a date with this girl, or, you know, my ex-girlfriend. Neither of us had any of that. Mm-hmm. So I think I remember speaking to you, Vic, about it, and like I was like thinking, well, I don't know if she has dated a girl before, but it's fine. Like, so for both of us, we kind of pretended that we were really professional lesbians.
Really, you don't even go here.
I was like, I have literally no idea what I'm doing, but sure. So
professional lesbians.
Yeah. And I think, you know, Hannah, I can't speak on behalf of her, but she, you know, she's only ever been very supportive of me and how I feel. And at the end of the day, she's always reassured me it's my journey. There's no pressure. You know, the beauty of it is who I am, and I can decide exactly, you know, what terms I want to be. Just to add on to that, if God forbid, you know, it didn't work out with Hannah, I don't feel like I probably would be able to date a man again. No, I feel, you know, it's because it wasn't the right person, and I think that's something to do with it, and I'm sure it's the majority, you know, a lot to do with it, but it's such a different relationship that I've ever had before. Mm-hmm. And it's such a more gentle relationship dating a woman. It's just more emotionally aware, and I just don't think I could date a man. And I'm not bashing men, there are great men out there, but
for all the reasons that we do ever complain about our husbands or boyfriends, about how they don't think or, like, you know, those stereotypical traits of men, it's basically for that reason, because you've seen the other side and thought, fuck that, I'm not going back to that.
Literally,
because we just live it and we're like, yeah, they're a night, well, actually, Mike's not really, Mike's actually, Mike's he's fabulous. A bit of an angel, isn't Rick's he really
also great. I think it's I don't know what it is, whether it's more that I'm on the gayer end of the spectrum, mm-hmm. than the straighter end, and I don't know if I'd feel super comfortable. Mm. But luckily, I have a fabulous partner, so hopefully that won't ever happen. Aww. But yeah.
So this is your first gay relationship, and obviously we've just mentioned that previous to now, you've always dated guys. Mm. Before you decided to open up your dating profile to women, because what you didn't just change it to women, did you? You just kind of opened it up so there was men and women.
Yeah.
Have you ever felt like a pull towards women, or like an attraction towards women before that maybe you suppressed? And if you did, then like, why do you feel you suppressed it for so long?
I think, first of all, there was definitely the signs when I was growing up, like looking back, you know, I loved skateboarding, like very stereotypical boy things. Like, you know, I didn't play with Barbies, and like, I was more like, I used to play rugby. My MSN name had rugby in it. Like, you know, it was I can't, because I still sometimes use it.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, so there were signs growing up, which I was completely oblivious to. And, like during uni, I like kissed a few girls on nights out, nothing more than that.
But like, for the fun of it. Or for, you really the fun of it, for the fun of it.
But I also really enjoyed it. Like, I had a nice time.
Yeah.
And I think I probably thought about it more than a very straight person would have.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it was, you know, I remember in my brain thinking, like, why am I overthinking this? Rather than, yeah, I had fun last night. I got with a girl. That's it, kind of thing. And like, I think there was definitely signs. And I think I definitely, probably over the year, maybe 5 years before, I probably thought about it more seriously. But I would always suppress it, mm-hmm. because it was such a change, what felt like such a change of life to me, to what I had ever envisaged my life to be. You know, I grew up in a great Jewish community. And for me, like, it was important I would grow up, marry a nice Jewish boy, have a lovely Jewish family, and, you know, all that kind of thing. And that's what I had envisaged my life to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I was terrified of not doing that. That's what I wanted.
Mm.
But deep down, I felt, you know, maybe it would never happen. And I never really questioned, well, why? I never managed to connect with a man, you know, on a very emotional level. So I definitely suppressed that. And I never really...
It's like your first step to going, like, off-piste from that idea you had about yourself and your life was opening up dating non-Jewish boys.
For sure.
Do you feel like... You thought, oh, well, the Jewish boys aren't working. Maybe it's the non-Jewish boys. Yeah. But do you think, like, at that time, you would have been open to dating girls, but that felt like the next step. That was like safe.
Yeah, I think probably it felt a safer step.
Baby steps, little baby steps. You're like, I know something's not quite right. Yeah. I don't know what it is. So let me make a little change and see what happens then.
Absolutely.
I do have a question. Do you not have any gay friends?
So I was talking to Hannah about it. She has more gay friends than I do. Mm-hmm. And when I grew up, I didn't really have many gay friends.
I've always been like surrounded by like gay friends. And I was just thinking when you were talking about it, I feel like maybe it would have been easier for your journey if you did know some.
Absolutely.
Not as like isolating or weird to think about.
Yeah. I think, you know, as I've progressed in my age, there've been more people who have come out, you know, people who I grew up with in primary school, Jewish people, who are now gay, and you know, who a few of them are married, and that's given me a lot of comfort actually. But growing up, no, I wasn't really surrounded by openly gay people, you know, and I think that you're totally right. So I didn't really have that exposure really. So yeah,
What's the kind of general view towards gay people in the Jewish religion?
I think there's a few elements to it. I think religion side of things, like most religions, as you increase the orthodox, the religion level, I think it is a taboo topic being gay in Judaism, you know, in the Bible, it's frowned upon to be gay. But the, you know, the other side of it is the community side. So my Jewish community itself, I was extremely nervous to come out to. Like, you know, the Jewish community in the UK, there's around 300,000 Jews. We don't make up even 1%. It's tiny. You know, everyone kind of knows everyone. So it felt like as soon as one person, it's like 0.1%. So, or 0.01%, it's really small. And I felt as soon as one person knew, the whole of the Jewish community in Manchester would tell London, who would tell Leeds, you know, and that was it. And I was...
That's good, though. You only have to tell one person.
It's true. So I was really quite nervous to kind of come out to the community. But the reality for me personally, like, I'm so grateful I've had such a positive experience. Like, my community has always been, you know, very open, very modern, very loving, and wants the best for you. And that's exactly what it has been like. So, you know, Hannah too has met my rabbi multiple times. He's always been so kind, so open. You know, I'm surrounded by religious people. Some of my closest friends are religious, and there's never been any question. You know, they just want me to be who I am, to be authentically myself, to be happy. Mm-hmm. And that's it. And, you know, I'm very grateful. And Hannah has also embraced all the elements that I find important in my religion. You know, I'm not hugely orthodox or religious, but I've been brought up in a way that it means something to me. It's really a part of who I am. I love my heritage, and I love, you know, we have wonderful holidays. I have lovely memories of growing up being Jewish, and I was worried that that would kind of go away a bit. Mm-hmm. But Hannah has just embraced all of that. So yeah, something else to add into that, I think, and another reason why I was worried about kind of coming out was, growing up, I went to a Jewish primary school, and then I went to a non-Jewish secondary school. You know, I live in a world where there are not many Jews, and it's important that I mix with non-Jewish people. Like, so, you know, the way that I was brought up, I had a very strong Jewish, you know, ethos and values and beliefs in terms of community and when I went to a non-Jewish school, it was a bit of an adjustment. And I felt, and I've spoken quite a lot with my therapist about it, of feeling like the other person, you know, in like a tick box, like you click like this, that, the other, and then it's other. So being gay and being Jewish, I felt like I had two ticks next to other. Okay. And I thought, you know, that for me, that was so overwhelming that I was like, no, that I can't do that. That's way too out there. Yeah, too out there. But, you know, I've been very fortunate that I've just been supported mm-hmm. by my community and my friends and my family. So, yeah, it was very daunting. I do want to caveat that. And just add in there that I completely understand for, you know, people who are probably very, very religious, that it could be a challenge, you know, and I'm sure it is very challenging to come out and people may not come out. And that I assume is for a lot of different religions, not just Judaism. Mm-hmm.
But also, religion aside, correct. Like people
absolutely
can really, really struggle. Like
100%.
I know how worried you were about telling, especially like some of your family members.
Yeah.
And you were met from the beginning just with like, everyone was just like, oh, happy for you.
Correct.
And it was just so like, okay, bit of a anticlimax.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's people who are, you know, they're not religious at all and they can be met with a completely different response. And which is just shit in this day and age. So you're like a real girl's girl. Like I don't think I know anyone who has as many friends and like keeps up with as many friends as you do. And so I'm really interested to know how, obviously you have all of these friendships. What was it like on like a first date with a girl? Like how do you how do you cross that boundary of making it a romantic situation? Let me snog you. I just can't imagine.
Yeah,
you know, like what you do, or do you be silly, or like I don't know.
Well, I'll give you some context. So Hannah and I met on Hinge and we spoke for about a month with, you know, on WhatsApp and whatnot, and we FaceTimed and we got to know each other for various reasons. We didn't go on a date, and whether that be because we were both shit scared is probably part of it. I was in London for work and so on. Fine. Anyway, it got to a point where Hannah turned around and said to me, I'm not looking for a pen pal. So I was like, shit, like I'm gonna have to do this, like it's you're either like, now or never. Yeah. I was like, professional lesbian or not. So I was like, right, I'm gonna do this. In my mind I was like, you know, I'm 30 years old, I've done work, I've been to therapy, like I've paid this money to my therapist, I'm ready. I'm gonna prove her that I'm ready for a relationship. But no, seriously, I said to myself, I need to be open and I need to go in 100%, like otherwise there's just no point. So we planned our day. It was all, we were going to the Manchester Museum. I was really excited, and then didn't hear anything from her. And then in the morning, she was like, I'm really hungover. I'm not cancelling, but we can go somewhere within a 3-mile radius of my flat. And I was like, cool. So we'll go to Nando's. And we went to Nando's and I was shit scared, like absolutely terrified.
Oh, I'm getting a feeling.
Yeah, I was so nervous.
Knees weak, palms are sweating.
And I know, like, I'm like, the thought of it, like, all this, you know, the year and a half ago, nearly 2 years, like, I was nervous. I was really nervous. And then, you know, we were talking. Hannah was hungover, which didn't help. And I was like, cool. I was probably yapping away more than her. And then I was like, well, I don't want the date to end. Obviously, we're sat across from each other, so I couldn't, like, there was no physical touch or anything. And I thought, how can I, like, you know, your question, how can I differentiate this? So I brought her a bar of chocolate because we'd been talking about, like, this specific chocolate. I was thinking, like, how can I, like, make this not just platonic? Uh-huh. So I did that, and
Can I ask what chocolate it was?
Tony's chocolate.
Oh, mate. I fucking love Tony's.
Same.
Tony's is
so good.
And when it's on deal in Tesco, oh, I'm
so good. So yeah, I got the big guns out, the Tony's did the trick. And then I was like, I don't want the date to end and I need to like interact a bit more. So we were like, let's go to IKEA because it was just around the corner. So like really stereotypical lesbians, apparently, they go to IKEA.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know you were being a professional lesbian.
I was a pro from the start.
It's been within you from the beginning.
I just needed it to be coaxed out a bit. Yeah. So off we went to IKEA. Hannah's still hungover. And, you know, I think I tried, you know, held her hand, like there was like playful.
Did you?
Yeah, I think so. I think like there was definitely some playful like energy around, like just some physical touch.
Looking at the shower curtains, like, oh, maybe we'll choose this one when we live together. It's like a proper rom-com.
Well, I think I was also still quite scared. So
Wait, another question. Did you lie down on a bed together?
No.
Oh,
sorry to disappoint.
Did you lie in the movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. And then, you know, the date progressed. We finished up in the car park and I was singing, so are we going to kiss? Like, this is the end of the date. Yeah. Like, and I was like, well, we can't kiss in my brain. Yeah. Anyway, so we both just went our separate ways and that was the end of the first date.
Oh, sorry. You didn't say to her, so are we going
to
kiss?
No, no, in my brain.
Head. Sorry. I was like, oh, no.
No, we,
I
d- thought we you didn't said, kiss.
So are we going to kiss?
So we didn't kiss. And then Hannah messaged me and was like, you can come round to mine tomorrow if you fancy. I was going for a race with my friends. And then I was thinking, shit, like, you know, if we maybe kiss and like, who knows what? Like, I was thinking, shit, like, I'm going to have to be a lesbian here, like, for real.
Yeah.
And so I just want to add into this. At this point, I hadn't told one person. Mm-hmm. So from the beginning of me speaking to Hannah, it'd been over a month. I hadn't told anyone. So I was going through this completely on my own. I wasn't ready to discuss it because I wasn't sure, like, if this was something I wanted. Mm-hmm. And, so went to the roast with my friends and I told them and they were all buzzing. They were like, oh, my God. I was just terrified and they were like, I've never seen you so nervous. And anyway, I put my big girl pants on and I went to Hannah's and it, you know, we were
take
so
big girl pants off.
I was like, I'm gonna wear my granny pants because nothing's gonna happen. And yeah, like the physical touch definitely helped, complimenting anything that I would want, you know.
Yeah,
like someone to say to me, like, you look beautiful, you know, just things that I would like to receive. Mm-hmm. Is how I romanced her, I guess.
How you went
and,
about it.
Yeah, and nearly 2 years on, it obviously worked.
And now are you a professional lesbian?
I'm a professional.
So a question we've had in is, how was it exploring the vulva after many years of dating men? I think it leads on.
No, it does. I just didn't expect. I did not either. I agree.
I did not expect that word after how was it exploring. Yeah. Like, how was it exploring the vulva?
The vulva. I was absolutely terrified. Like, I'm not going to lie. Which sounds ridiculous because I have one too.
I was just about to say, but it's not the same.
It's not the
I
same.
Think if I came face to face with a fanny, I would be like, even though I might know what I like, I'd be like, what the fuck do I do?
Yeah because
what
yeah,
do I
literally,
do? Will I blow on it?
Literally had no idea. So, but from the very beginning of our like dating and our relationship, there was a huge emphasis on communication. Okay. And we always communicated what our needs and still do, what our needs are. So I would ask her like what she wants, what she likes, what her needs are. Yeah. And, you know, we both, after realising we weren't professional lesbians.
Who disclosed that first?
I can't honestly remember, but I remember us having a conversation on the, we were sat on the beach and it kind of came very apparent that neither of us had dated a woman before. And I was like, oh, okay. And it gave me a lot of comfort because we then were on this journey together.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that's a lovely thing. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But I feel like I'd feel more, if that was me, I'd feel more confident suddenly.
Absolutely.
Like, oh, yeah. Fine.
And I think that was also something else that I was concerned about when I was decided I wanted to start dating a woman, was that maybe the other person who I was going to date, they'd think, oh, she's just messing around, like she wants to just try, you know. And I was worried that that would be the way that I was perceived, but actually I was looking for my partner at the end of the day. And yes, obviously there was the chance of maybe I didn't like it, but I did, so it worked out for me. But yeah, going back to the vulva, yeah, it was definitely an adjustment and I needed to build my confidence up, but Hannah gave me that confidence and I hope I, you know, gave her that confidence and the space and the time. I never pressured her into anything, and the same for me. And I think, you know, just naturally we felt more and more and more comfortable from day one. We really felt very comfortable and that gave me the confidence to be able to explore the vulva, I would say. And it, you know, like anything, once you do it once, twice and so on, you become more confident. And again, it's about communication, you know, are so important. What you like may not be what your partner likes, so don't be scared to ask. I think,
yeah.
So would you say like a dick gives you the ick now?
Is that a question or is that your question?
It's like my question.
I don't think it gives me the ick, but it doesn't do much. No, no, it doesn't do anything for me.
You don't get excited. I loved it.
I'm sorry to my family and friends. Yeah, like, no, I used to love a penis.
No, I know, yeah, my mum's probably listening to this. Obviously, I'm with Rick. I've been for a long time. But, like, I very, very, very strongly know I am straight.
Yeah.
Like, I know that's what I like.
Yeah.
And I find it, like, hard to kind of get in someone's head to be unsure, you know, because I only know
absolutely
what I know. And I feel like it must be so scary
to not know,
to be unsure
definitely. And I think like that kind of can put you off like trying something new. It's the fear of the unknown. It's like anything in life, isn't it? And being unsure for me was a indication that actually I need to try it with a woman and see how I feel, because maybe I feel like I should be more sure that I was fully straight, if that makes sense. So
at the beginning you was talking about how you had this perceived idea of what your life would look like, and that was a reason why you didn't really want to explore women at that time. That's obviously will have changed quite a bit now because you are with a woman. How do you feel about your future?
Oh, well, I'm like so excited. Like, I found my person. You know, I think from the pretty early on, after I started telling people, you know, I think I just decided I don't give a shit. Like, I remember in my brain thinking, I know my friends, I know they're all amazing people. Like, I surround myself with an incredible circle and my family will love me. So for me, I was like, I don't give a shit. And I think that attitude, of course, I like care what other people think to an extent, but I need to be happy. So yeah, my future, you know, please God, we want to have a baby, we want to, but you know, we want to buy a house next year. You know, I've found my soulmate, my partner, so you know, and we want to get married, you know. Yeah,
love that.
Yeah.
Well, Hannah too said, please tell her I love her. I'm very proud of her. And can she stop pretending not to love my morning alarms? No, I'm sorry, Hannah. I can't get on board with that.
Thank you, Vic.
No, we don't love morning alarms.
We don't love the alarms. They need to go.
There is one thing, it's maybe a bit deep for me. I suppose it's not really a question, but it was just when you were talking then. Mm. It just made me think, like, so you've got the support from people. I know you weren't sure maybe straight away, but, like, what about the people that don't have anyone to support them through that change? Yeah. I was just thinking about it, and, like, I get why some people might hide it for years or never, like, come out.
Well, for Hannah too, you know, that's her journey, and I don't want to speak for her, but her journey was different for her. Uh-huh. Her parents did find it really quite challenging when she told them. And, you know, we're nearly 2 years on from when she came out. It has taken a very long time to get to where we are now, to be, you know, their relationship has changed somewhat, and for Hannah accepting that and having therapy and, you know, me supporting her through that, it was really, really, really challenging. And I think it obviously, I was really lucky, like, I have a very good support system.
And not just that, I was also thinking the fact, like, you made a few comments, like, you've really done a lot of work on yourself.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, I've paid for therapy.
Yeah.
Like, I can imagine someone that they know something's not right. But they're not in tune with themselves. They've not done work on themselves.
Yeah.
And I feel like sometimes, if you've not done work on yourself, you don't often know yourself that well, or not a deep enough level to then have the confidence to try something.
Yeah.
And so, I'm in a little headspace where I feel bad for people that are, like, so confused but don't have an outlet.
You're
really
totally right. And I think, you know, there's forums and there's different charities that are there to help and to talk about things. And also, you know, someone like me who has paid for therapy for like 3 years, and it took me until I was 30 to make the decision and come out. Like, you know, I wasn't sure, and it took me quite a while to figure that out. Mm-hmm. And I still don't know if I identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, whatever the right term is for me. So I think it doesn't matter, as long as you're happy, you know, you need to do what's right for you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the unfortunately are scenarios where you don't get that support that you need, and it's really tough. And, you know, I hope that society's views, you know, we're supposedly in a very progressive society, but at the end of the day, there's still so much homophobia, and the attitude towards it is still not brilliant at all. You know, there's countries that are banning gay marriage left, right and centre, states in America. You know, it's still a challenging place to live in. And that's a big fear for a lot of gay people, and that's, you know, that needs to be acknowledged.
Yeah.
I feel like, in a roundabout way, you've answered all of the other questions that people have written in.
Cool.
I loved having this chat with you. I think it will be so, like, helpful for other people, and it's just really interesting.
Yeah.
So thank you for coming on and bearing all and sharing your experience to becoming a professional lesbian.
Or you need to make your own slogan tee with professional lesbian.
You do.
I have got a I Heart My Girlfriend t-shirt that my girlfriend bought me for when I went away with my friends. So everyone knew I had a girlfriend and I was in love. So I could wear that.
Yeah, love that. Or is there anything else you feel like you want to say to close the podcast?
Well, I think my advice to anyone is, you know, be authentically yourself, be confident in who you are. At the end of the day, it's your life and you deserve to be happy. Everyone else has their own shit going on, and they're probably more concerned about their own shit than yours anyway. Like, for Hannah and I, it felt like the biggest deal in the whole world to come out to everyone, but the reality was actually no one really gave a shit. Like, they were just happy for us, happy that I was happy, and it's not changed my relationship with anyone, and I'm who I am, and that's it. If people, you know, don't like it, bye.
You can lump it.
Exactly. So, you know, just, and the final thing I would say is definitely take it in your own time. There's no one size fits all. There's no time frame on coming out. There's, you know, we told everyone day by day, you know, one day I'd come home, oh, I've told Vic, I've told Dom, I've told, you know, this person. And I did it in how I felt was comfortable. Hannah did it in the way she felt was comfortable.
Can I just ask one question?
Go for it.
I'm guessing you did it a bit different for each person.
Yeah.
Like, give me one way.
Okay, sure.
You did do it.
So with my mum, I was nervous, but I didn't think she'd really care. And, you know, there's only so many times I was living at my mum's at the time, and there's only so many times I could say, I'm staying at Vic's, I'm staying at Jen's, I'm staying at Caitlin's, like, every day, every other day, like, I think the jig was up. So anyway, I'm in work, I'm telling my friends, I'm like, I'm going to go home, I'm going to tell my mum, I'm seeing someone, she's called Hannah. There was like, there was a trifecta. I'm dating someone, it's a girl, she's called Hannah, same name, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, it made it easier for me to make a bit of a joke. Yeah, she's called Hannah, la, la, la. Anyway, so I've psyched myself up. I'm like ready to go and tell my mum, go home. She's not there. And I'm like, for fuck's sake, where is she? And I was going to see Hannah that evening, so I needed to tell her. Like, I'd really built it up in my head at this point. It was time. Yeah. Anyway, so I call her, and I'm like, where are you? She's like, I'm in Sainsbury's. And I'm like, oh, damn. I'm like, right. I was like, well, mum. But I was like, this isn't how I wanted to tell you. But you're not at home, so I'm going to tell you this way anyway. And then I just told her, and she was like, right, okay. And I was like, okay, so I'm going to Hannah's tonight. She was like, okay. I was like, do you have anything to say? She was like, no. Are you happy? I was like, yeah. She was like, cool. And that was it. So, yeah.
But I feel like
that was very anticlimactic for me.
That's the way it went for, like, everyone. I remember you was on your way to mine to tell me, but then I got called into hospital for my appendix.
Oh, yeah.
And so you sent me this, like, long message. Yeah. And I was just like, oh, so happy for you.
Every single one of the stories, like, my mum was unwell in hospital, so I ended up having to come out to all her friends and my dad, because my dad was concerned I was going to be on my own, so the first night, I was like, no, don't worry, like, this isn't how I wanted to tell you, dad, but... And he was like, oh, okay. So then, yeah, basically I ended up telling a load of people that week, because they were all concerned about me. I just built it up in my head. It felt like a massive deal, and the reality was it wasn't. And then my girlfriend met my mum in the hospital for the first time. That was how she met my mum. And then I met Hannah's mum when Hannah was in hospital. Oh. So, right. Yeah. So,
you really are similar in more.
We are. Correct.
Oh, I love it. And I really love this episode. So, thank you. Thank you for coming on.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming out and coming on.
Hey. Maybe we can get some of those, like, resources off you. You know, spoke about the charities. Yeah. We'll pop them in the show notes.
Absolutely.
But yeah, if anyone has any more questions, like, obviously you can DM us. Hannah does also have an Instagram.
I do. The Mental Foodie.
Yeah. Are you open to people messaging you?
Yeah, of course.
So, yeah, if you want to message Hannah, maybe you're in a similar situation, maybe you're right at the start of exploring a different relationships, drop her a message.
Drop me a message.
She loves a chat.
I do.
Oh, so thank you so much. Yeah. Take care. We love you lots.
Bye.
Bye. See you next week.
Bye. You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.